The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening, a Sunday that has seen Imokilly crowned Cork County Senior Hurling Champions for the third year in a row after their win today over Glen Rovers. We'll have reaction from the Imokilly camp coming up very, very shortly indeed. We'll hear from Paddy O'Sullivan, and we'll hear from Decky Dalton, and we'll hear from the manager, Frank Condon, who we're hearing has stepped down after 5 years in charge of the divisional side. More on that in just a little bit. Also on the show today, we're going to look back on Ireland's defeat to New Zealand. We're going to hear from Joe Schmidt in his final interview as Ireland boss. We're also going to look back on Cork City win over Dundalk after they won 1-0 on Friday night. I'm going to get some analysis from George O'Callaghan as well. How many tickets to wait to the Senior Football Championship final? That's all to come on the Big Red Bench between now and 6. Rory here with you until 7 p.m. This evening on the Big Red Bench. Kieran O'Regan is down in Páirc Uaim. We're going to hear from him in a bit. He was down at Imokilly's win as they beat Glen Rovers this afternoon. It was a 3-in-a-row victory for Imokilly after that fantastic performance today against Glen Rovers. And we'll hear from them in just a little bit. Manchester United, meanwhile, are leading Liverpool by a 2-0 at Old Trafford. 74.5 minutes at the clock. And it is Man United 1, Liverpool 0. And the form books certainly couldn't have predicted this one. Manchester United, the better team as well in this game. But they are a goal up thanks to Marcus Rashford's goal in the first half. And Liverpool looking to get back into this one. But it's still Manchester United 1, Liverpool 0. We're going to wrap up all today's action in a bit, but probably going to go straight to Páirc Uaim to get some reaction from the Senior Football Championship, or Senior Hurling Championship, I beg your pardon. Kieran O'Regan is down there, as I mentioned, and he has been chatting to Fergal Condon after Imokilly made it at 3 in a row of Senior Hurling Championship titles.
Fergal, very happy, man.
Oh, unbelievable. A brilliant day for his cock, a brilliant day for Imokilly. Great for our families and our friends, and the support that we had today was phenomenal. What a belter of a game. You know, I said it in previous interviews there a while ago, Cork Hurling was crying out for something like that, where players could play and they exposed their skills. And you know, there's knocks and hits in hurling, we all know it, and we have to be expecting it, and we got it today. We got it, you know, we got fire and everything that the Glen had. They threw the lot at us. I think, you know, in fairness, you could go cribbing about Nathan Ball. I wouldn't drop my move because there was knocks here and there, but that's hurling, leave the game flow, and I thought he did a great job that way. I suppose, you know, the Glen didn't, the passion that they came with, I've never seen it in any one of the club sides that we've played in the 5 years I've been involved. And to bring it in county final there, you know, they were well aware that we are very talented coming in, and they attacked us from the front foot. And I suppose all good fillers then, you know, like Paddy's ball to Shamey in the first half, told, like, you know, there were killer passes, and we just got the goals again, you know, and goals win games.
Yeah. The Glen started brightly, but did you ever feel under pressure? Like, I know it was only the start of the game.
Like, you have to leave, you know, I mean, you have to leave a team set. Like, if you panic after 5 minutes, you're never going to win anything. You know, this game now is 64-65 minutes long, and just everything is a chapter. You know, you get over the first quarter and get to half time, and you have a chat at half time, and you come back out and you assess your team and the way you're going, and that's where your statsmen come into play. You know, Eugene and Jack, they were brilliant for me, you know, the last 3 years. And of course, like, you know, they were able to point out our weaknesses there at half time, which is very important to me.
Yeah. Listen, you've been with this squad for quite a while, a couple of years ago, when maybe nobody wanted it the first go, but you have to run the 3 in a row. That's obviously very special for him.
Of course it is. It's very special. It's very special for my house at home. The wife and kids, you know, Sinead and Bridget and Tomás, you know, they're the backbone of what I do, and will be going forward as well. To be able to get out to get a team like this, it takes time. It takes up a lot of your time, and it's the same for the players and the other selectors and the management, the rest of the management team. You know, there's thumbs up every Monday night when we went to be out, and the last couple of weeks in particular, you know, this was always going to be a real battle, because as everybody knows, the Glen had the previous two counties won before ourselves, and you know, they weren't going to lay down today, and they didn't either. That's a great testament to Richie Kelleher and his management team, you know, and he's an unbelievable Glen man. To get the last of fire the way they play today, it was a special kind of a victory for us from that point of view, because we were playing in the second best thing, I suppose, if you like, not being smart enough.
Yeah. You got a bit emotional there talking about the family. They're here, you were in for a picture there as well. Everyone was pulling and dragging it to get in. Yeah. And they obviously mean a lot to you as well, because you have to be left out of the house.
Oh, yeah. I sure like it's every other Holland man in the country, like, you know. But, I mean, you couldn't keep me in there. I'd break up and then break out or something. But I tell you, I have a great wife at home and two kids. And, you know, my parents are still around, thankfully. And I have a big family of five brothers, three sisters. And they're all here today. That's very special. And their children, you know. And the whole house was buzzing. And the whole neighbourhood where I come from, small little village in Saline. And, you know, my club in the header, it's great, definitely.
This is more like a club team than a divisional team. It's been said a million times over the last few years, but you can see it every time you play. Even the Father O'Neill's lads, who would have been out on their feet last week, no signs of any, you know, hangover from the week or anything like that.
Nah, they're an unbelievable club, you know. They'll do well at seeing ourselves now, and Klein are gone up as well, and Paddy Sull is a brilliant man, you know. Look, do you know, the Father and his lads are one of the backbone of the team. You know, John Millerick and Joe Millerick, you know, Danny Harrington, Billy Dunn, Mark O'Keefe, and the bold Dickie Dalton. And I say the word bold, he's lethal. He's the greatest slap of a ball I've ever seen in my life. I'm able to say it now because I'm finished with him, McKinley, as of that final whistle myself. So, what a hurler. He's some future ahead of him. And I thank not alone the Father Neil's club, but every other club that have supported me in the management team in the playoffs. And of course, that starts with St. Itis and Shamie Hannity, who has been an unbelievable servant to everybody. He's, I suppose, UCC, his club, St. Itis, his county, and now ourselves in Inniquilly. And, you know, I don't know how many fellas have walked up the steps in Parky Ring and Parky Keefe to pick up cups, but he's certainly one fella who deserves it.
You mentioned that's the end of it for yourself in Inniquilly. Is there any way, I know you're involved in Cork now next year, but there's no way you could be tempted back in after doing the three in a row? You've had your laugh.
Well, I say it's such a hard thing to do, to stand in front of 34 or 5 gentlemen that you really admire, and probably, you know, just say, tell them that you're moving on. I found that emotionally very hard myself, I'll only be honest. But because we've built up a great bond, and, you know, we trust one another. Fellas look out for each other. If there's a problem, they'll let you know, and you can sort it out man to man, and that's the way it should be, you know. I suppose on top of that, then, you know, it's just the duty of care. And then on top of that, then, the way they play when they tag off and put the jersey in their back. Yeah. It's unbelievable, and, you know, I'm proud of each and every one of them.
And look, lastly, before I leave you go, because I don't want to stop you from celebrating either, but what's the plan next? I know you're with Cork, but apart from rest, what are you going to be doing?
I suppose, you know, like I work a shift, I work 2 days tonight since I have 6 off then, you know, but I have great colleagues at work as well, to be fair, and that's a place to add the lads, you know. I get help out, I should be at work today, you know, and I thank Ron Corbin, the fellow who worked me there, he's going to do my shift, and I'll be back Tuesday morning. But sure, look, I'm going to enjoy the rest of this year now. We have a lot of work to do with the under-20s, mm-hmm, to get them up and running now, and I'm looking forward to that. There's a fantastic management team there, and Pat Ryan and Donald Lamani, and, you know, Wayne Sherlock and Brendan Coleman, and we're after 2 meetings now, and, you know, that's next for me, you know. I suppose Pat will be leading the way there. He'll give me plenty of work to do. But I'm looking forward to it. I love it. I've been involved with Dennis Ring and his backroom team last year, and I'm very grateful to Dennis for everything he's taught me down through the years, you know. He's been fierce and lucky as a manager, but he's a man who's put in some serious hours into Cork Hurling, and I couldn't forget that by mentioning that either.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic stuff there from Imokili boss for Little Condon. The former Imokili boss, as of the final whistle, as he said himself, stepping down after 5 years in charge after guiding Imokili to 3 championship titles in a row. Very emotional stuff. Very proud moment for him, as he said, for his family, for his club. And as he said in that interview, he was proud to have those players playing for him. And he thanks all the clubs as well. Very, very classy stuff from Fergal Condon after their win over Glen Rovers today in the Senior Hurling Championship final. Imokili winning on a scoreline of 217 to 116. Going to hear from more from Imokili. Just a quick update from Old Trafford. Still Manchester United 1, Liverpool 0. Marcus Rashford's first half goal is still separating the sides. 83 minutes now on the clock there. But we're going to get more from the Imokili camp and from Kieran O'Regan. We are going to hear from Imokili's Paddy O'Sullivan.
Paddy, obviously, absolutely delighted with that win.
Yeah, look, it's incredible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
that's been like a wet,
all right.
But Yeah, look, incredible feeling. Just what we expected coming up, that the Glen were going to throw absolutely everything at us. And look, they certainly did that for 65, 66, 67, however many minutes it was. We were just lucky to get over the line there in the end.
Yeah, I think you were quoted during the week how much you wanted to win this, because it was probably going to be your last with Emmy Killey. Obviously, it means a lot to you as well.
Yeah, massively. Look, as I said, this fellas are not keen enough to remind me there, you know, look, my first three county finals with Clare, we managed to lose them, so look, it's nice to kind of reverse that trend there for a change. And as you say, look, with Clare going up senior, it's nice to finish it heading the other direction for a change.
You're more like a club team than a division loafer, you can see that the way you play and you train and even recover and everything. Like, it obviously means a lot to the group of you as well.
Yeah, very much so. Look, I think that's something that people are very keen to throw at us. Look, that we're a division, we're not a club team. When it comes down to a battle, that, you know, the club team will roll us over because they'll want it more. But look, I think we showed there today when the going got really tough. It wasn't as free flowing maybe as we would have liked, but we dug in. Did we ride our luck a couple of times? We most certainly did. But look, we got over the line, as we said. We stuck together, dug the feet in, and very, very fortunate to get over the line in the end.
And listen, it was incredibly close at half time and at full time, but maybe that goal just before in the first half probably was winning and losing of it, even though there was a whole second half there.
Yeah, look, it was a massive score. I think at the end of the day we won by a goal, and look, we were fortunate. It was a nice break, just kind of pop by way, and Shamey, look, great finish from him. He did the rest, but as you say, getting a score like that before half time after maybe riding a lucky small bit for the first half of the game, you know, was a key score in the game, and one ultimately they couldn't pull back in the end.
Listen, you'll obviously enjoy this, but it's Clyne now with senior next year. It's obviously great to be back senior, even if it is the second year, it's still senior with Clyne.
Yeah, look, it's a massive achievement. You know, we've been down now in a couple of years. We didn't quite get there the way we would have wanted, but look, as you say, we're senior, it's new competition, it's a new beginning from everyone. Look, as you say, I think we'll enjoy this now for a couple of days, and we'll start worrying about Clyne when that day comes around.
Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. That's our Clyne's Paddy O'Sullivan there speaking to Kieran O'Regan after Emma Kilmore Crown County Champions for the third year in a row. Liverpool have equalised against Manchester United. Adam Lallana slotting home at the back post after some poor Manchester United defending. 85 and a half minutes on the clock. Manchester United won. Liverpool won. More from Emma Kilmore. Going to hear from Decky Dalton.
Decky, obviously delighted with that county championship win. It's 2 in a week.
Oh yeah, definitely delighted with that. Like, this is 3-0 with Emma Kilmore. Like, for Highland, with the last 5 years, it's bringing a massive work rate intensity to this, and he brought, like, Emma Kilmore were coming from nowhere, came from nowhere there 3 years ago, so thank God we got over the line. We'll learn for Highland, and hopefully in the next year or two that he can push it on with Cork, like, so.
Yeah, come here, talk about, it's two titles in a week for you. The big win obviously last week with Father O'Neill, it's massive. You're up senior now as well with him. There's not many people can win two county titles in a week.
No, I'm just delightful, really, to be honest with you, because like last week I said in 2016 that I wanted to try to get this club up senior, and we reached our goal last week of getting to the senior B, and like, I'm gone from Emma Kilmore now next year, and there's a few Clyne boys gone from Emma Kilmore next year. So, like, Emma Kilmore are a serious outfit. It doesn't matter what they put out in the field, they can pull players from East Cork, and like the serious talent in East Cork. And when East Cork are going well, when Emma Kilmore are going well, Cork are seem to be going well. So if we can get Emma Kilmore playing well for the whole time, that means it'll push on Cork, it'll make Cork better, and it'll make Cork championship better.
Listen, you mentioned obviously this is your last title with Emma Kilmore for a while anyway. Maybe I'm sure you'd rather Father O'Neill stay senior anyway, but obviously this is massive for you, in that, like, Emma Kilmore, you're like a club team as well. It's not just a division.
Oh yeah, it's like a club team. You go to training, and you have the crack, you enjoy with the lads, like, so and it's very enjoyable. Like, it's like a club team. Like, it's playing with your lads from Yall, Eadhaz, Killa, or not Killa, but Eadhaz and stuff, like, so it's actually like a club team, and we get on very well. That's kind of what I see what's going on in McKinley. Like,
and look, I'm not going to keep you one last one. There's no rest for you, because you've Munster Championship now with Father O'Neill's as well.
Yeah, Munster Championship in 2 weeks time, but I'll enjoy another break next week. This is I think it's 11 or 10 weeks on the track for 5 lads that from O'Neill's, like, so hopefully now in Munster we can push on against Limerick.
Yes, Decky Dalton there speaking after Emma Kelly's win today over Glen Rovers in the Senior Hurling Championship final to secure the three in a row. The first side since the Bars in the early 80s to make it a three in a row of Cork County Senior Hurling Championship titles. So congratulations indeed to everyone involved in Emma Kelly. We'll get Kieran O'Regan's thoughts a little bit later on in the show when he gets back from Porky Run. 89 minutes on the clock now at Old Trafford. Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1. Adam Lallana equalising for the Reds. It's his first goal for Liverpool since May of 2017. So it looks like that's going to end all square. But Liverpool now looking more likely to go and get the next goal. I'm just going to recap all the day's other action today as well. We will go to Old Trafford though first for an update from Peter Smith.
Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1. Jurgen Klopp named all, used all three substitutes in the second half. One of them has levelled. Adam Lallana at the back post, totally unmarked as the United defence left him undetected to fire in, connecting with a low left wing centre. It's Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1.
Yeah, absolutely terrible marking from the Man United players there to allow Liverpool to score that goal. Elsewhere, there was two games today in Porky Run, the first of which saw St Michael's defeat Kanturk in the Premier Intermediate Football Championship semi-final replay. St Michael's 2-11, Kanturk 7 points was how that finished. Michael's now face Aero Og in the final. In the Munster Minor Camogie Championship, Cork have beaten Limerick 3-17 to 8 points. Football as well today, Rangers missing out on the chance to return to the top of the Scottish Premiership. They drew 1-1 with Hearts today. Their boss Stephen Gerrard says they paid for a slow start.
The first 5 minutes we were really poor. We never started the game with the right attitude and the right mentality. We never competed well enough, and we're lucky that we went 2 goals down rather than one. You know, they hit the bar with a great effort, and we were just second best in the opening exchanges.
So Rangers level on points with Celtic with the same goal difference of 21. However, Celtic have scored a goal more. They've scored 28. They've conceded 7 compared to Rangers 27, conceded 6. So Celtic still top of the table by virtue of that extra goal score. Also, the Metropolitan Police are investigating after an FA Cup tie between Harringay Borough and Yeovil Town was abandoned yesterday because of racist abuse and missiles being thrown. Their players came off the pitch after claims that they were spat at by Yeovil fans. Their manager, Tom Loyes, who told his players to leave the field, and the referee admitted he could not guarantee the safety of the players. Harringay Borough captain Rakeem Richards says they had no choice.
That kind of behaviour, you can't have that anywhere, even on a football game. To have people doing stuff like that, that has to be eradicated. Don't know how, but it is, I think, at the top of the list.
5 minutes to be added on at Old Trafford. Liverpool looking for the winner. Manchester United sitting very, very deep indeed as they look to keep Liverpool out. Liverpool 1, Manchester United 1 at Old Trafford, and 1 minute of the 5 has been played, so 4 minutes left there to go. Now the Rugby World Cup has been whittled down to 4 teams as well. England and New Zealand will meet in the last 4 next week. The other semi-final will be made up of Wales and South Africa. Their respective wins over France and Japan today. The Wales-France match couldn't have been closer, Warren Gatland's side winning by a single point. Welsh lock Alan Wynne-Jones said they were lucky, especially as France went down to 14 men.
I think we were slow on the blocks. We haven't been particularly like that. We probably continued in a similar vein. Now we started against Fiji, which is slightly disappointing, but the character we showed to come through. Obviously, there was an advantage in the second half after the card, but you know, we kept plugging away and came on the right side of the scoreboard.
That's where Gavin Monaghan finishing up in a tie for 5th at the French Open in Paris. The Dubliners shooting a level par round of 71 today, leaving him 8 under for the tournament. 4 shots off the winner, Nicholas Coulthard. And trainer Willie Mullins has paid tribute to Wicklow Brave, calling him a legend of his yard on Twitter. The 10-year-old sadly died after falling at the final flight of the American Grand National last night with Paul Townend on board. Wicklow Brave ran 59 races over obstacles and on the flat, winning 17 of those. He wins in the St Ledger and at the Cheltenham Festival. Alright, going to move on now. We'll have more from Porky Run in just a bit. We'll talk to Kieran O'Regan to get his thoughts on Emo Killey's 3 in a row success. But we didn't have time to stop at Cork City yesterday. Very busy show yesterday with the Congress happening in Porky Cueve and with the Ireland defeat at the Rugby World Cup. But we're going to go back to Cork City's win over Dundalk on Friday night. Hasn't been too much to cheer about for Cork City fans this season, but the 1-0 win at the Cross on Friday night certainly was one of the highlights of the year. Darragh O'Connor's goal just in a stroke of half time after being expertly played in by Benny and O'Brien Whitmarsh to score the game's only goal to give Cork City just their ninth win of the season. They wrap up their campaign against Shamrock Rovers next Friday night in Tala. But Colm O'Sullivan was there and he got the analysis of George O'Callaghan and also spoke to Cork City chairman Declan Carey.
The last few weeks it looks like you're starting to become like a Neil Fenn's team, and I thought that tonight they're really well set up. They hit Dundalk on the break to try to suck him in, and it was a fantastic finish from O'Connor. He's been really bright the last couple of games, and it's exactly what they needed. And you know, as I said a few weeks ago, the lads bringing Fenny in the last few games gets him to see Ebony before the start of next season, and it's all positive now, and hopefully it can keep going that way.
Great atmosphere as well. We see there's still some fans in the shed chanting and singing and shouting there. It's like the old days.
Yeah, that's what we want, you know. And listen, we know it hasn't been the best of seasons, and we know how great the Cork City fans are, and we're still the biggest club in Ireland with the best fans in Ireland. And you know, as we spoke before the game, there'll be a lot of lads that leave the club in the next couple of weeks that will really miss this club, and they look back in their career and they'll probably be the best time they had in their career. So anyone that's lucky enough to be involved and play for Cork City should really make the most of it, because it is really special.
It's a privilege to play for the club, obviously, and as you said, some of those guys are going to be gone, there some will stay. Do you think anyone might have changed Neil Fenn's mind tonight, or do you think his mind is made up at the stage?
I think his mind's made up, and there was a big difference. Like we've watched the games recently, like there's a big difference tonight from what it was, and I suppose last month. But what's that down to? Is the players? What we don't know, do we? Do you know, they've just been really disappointing. Tonight they look like they're back to all their old selves again. Is that because they're scouts sitting in the stands?
You wonder why they get so fired up for a game against Dundalk if they can't do it for a game against Finn Harps.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And I think a lot of games, I think nearly, I say 70% of the games this year, they didn't look up for it, but they obviously did tonight. They all have their own reasons for it, but I'm just delighted they've got the win. It sends Fenny away, the last home game with a win, and just go beat Shamrock Rovers now next week away, and we're all happy again.
It's important for Fenny because he had a disastrous start, really, the first few games. Things just didn't go his way. It was a bit bad luck, a few bad results. But two wins in a row now, and whatever with last week, tonight was a well-deserved win, and that's very important for him and to get up and running here as well.
Yeah, and I've been saying all along, Fenny's a really shrewd character. He's a really clever guy in football and world. He's been there, done it. He was in England the same time it was. He's came back. He made a good career for himself here. And Fenny will make the right decisions for Cork, because it's a big, massive step for him in his football management career. And you know what? That must have been really a couple of lonely weeks. Yeah. I know he's living his own. His family will be coming down soon to him. But you know, if you're sitting in the house and you're thinking all the time, you're losing games, especially with the media coverage that we get in Cork and social media. So, you know what? It's one little step at a time to get us back to where we want to be, but it seems like it's getting there after watching tonight's performance.
And he seems popular with the fans. They seem to like him.
You can't help but not like Fenny, though. He's a great character. He's probably a mixture between Pat Dolan and Caulfield, I would say.
It's a good mix, in fairness.
Yeah, you know, you know, he's a great guy. And you know what? Let's all get behind him now for the new season, and let's see what they can do.
Brilliant. George, thanks a million. Going to bring in Declan Carey. Deck, your first season as chairman. It's been an up and down season, and it's been, I suppose, a difficult season, really, and you had difficult decisions to make, but it's a nice way to finish it off tonight.
Yeah, look, Colm, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's been a difficult season for everyone, but look, I think you can still hear the crowd singing behind us here. I think everyone left here now with an air of positivity. We still have one game left, of course, next weekend, Shamrock Rovers, but look, going into next year now, I know we've our marketing campaign is a city rising, but look, I think the fans can definitely get the feeling that, you know, it is a city rising, and Neil is starting to put his own stamp on the way the team play now as well, and things are looking good now for next season. You know, we'll fans will have this lasting memory of Turner's Cross from 2019. Of course, yeah, we haven't had some great results, but look, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and I'm sure we'll be back here no stronger than ever next season.
Exactly. And I mean, tonight was great. The atmosphere was like we've had over the last few years. It was like one of the games against Dundalk that we've had for the last 5 years, and that's been missing really all this season. So even in terms of going forward, selling season tickets and things, it's an important win tonight.
Yeah, it is. And look, as you said, the atmosphere here tonight was fantastic. And yeah, you touched on it there with George as well. Tonight was the last night a couple of these lads will play in Turner's Cross in front of the home crowd. And look, yeah, I think they kind of really did up their game against Dundalk. I think it could have been anyone, really. It's like, as I said, it's their last game at Turner's Cross, you know, for the foreseeable. They'll probably be back here with a different team, maybe. But yeah, they've had some great couple of years, a lot of the team that played there tonight. And yeah, we wish wish them the best now. I think, of course, one game left next week. And, you know, I'm sure the away fans next week will cheer them on as well. And hopefully we get one last great performance against the Rovers again and really help us kick on then into the off-season. And a few fresh faces that Neil will plan on bringing in. I know he's already done a lot of homework on that front already. As George said there, you know, it's been a hectic couple of weeks for him. I know he's, you know, moved his whole life down to Cork. He's on his own as well, which is, you know, huge for him. And it's very difficult, as I said, a few poor results. And yeah, I think tonight now will kind of make all that worthwhile. And yeah, he'll be the happiest man in Cork today.
Yeah, it's Declan Carey, Cork City chairman, in conversation there with Cullum, and we heard from SD legend George O'Callaghan as well. It's finished 1-1 at Old Trafford. Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1 is how it finished. Marcus Rashford for United, Adam Lallana with the goal for Liverpool. Going to hear from Neil Fenn briefly. I asked him on Friday night, was that the best performance of his tenure?
Yeah, I felt, yeah, probably, you know, against the opposition that was there. I mean, you know, they're a very good team and cause you lots of problems with their movement and their quality on the ball, but I felt we dealt with it reasonably well, especially in the first half. Obviously in the second half we were under a lot of pressure and players had to step up and Ty got to step up and make some saves, but I felt that we were threatening enough. And kept the ball really well at times and played some good stuff.
And the goal itself was spectacular. The through ball just caught the dark defence napping, basically.
Yeah, I said at half time I felt that probably the one thing that did let us down in the first half was the final ball in their final third. I felt that a lot of the times we rushed it and we gave it away when we didn't have to. But Benny did really well playing Dara in, and Dara took another goal like he did last week. It was excellent.
Do you feel like you've given the fans a glimpse of what's to come now next season? That's the standard you want to set.
You know, we're not getting carried away. We've had you know, good performances in patches and not so good at other times. It's just trying to gel it all together to get a 90 minutes out of it. It wasn't perfect today by any means, and there was still a lot to work on. So we got the result we wanted, but you know, we know there's lots of work to do.
And the atmosphere tonight certainly helped as well.
Oh, you know, this is the best place to play football in, you know, anyway, but especially when the crowd are like that, you know, they get really behind us, and the place was rocking, and you know, it feels good. It feels really good that we've gave them, because they haven't had a, you know, they've suffered this year. So it's good to have, you know, the last game of the season that you give them something to go home with and could be happy for that.
Yeah, and certainly we're happy leaving at Turner's Cross. And the few times this season where Cork City fans absolutely delighted leaving the Cross. Going to go to Old Trafford, get a full-time report from Peter Smith.
Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1. United led thanks to Marcus Rashford's close-range strike as he connected with Daniel James' precise cross. Liverpool thought they'd level before the break, but VAR decreed that Sadio Mane had handled before shooting. Jurgen Klopp looked on at a below-par performance using three second-half substitutes, and one of them snatched a late equaliser as Adam Lallana was left undetected at the back post to steer in a low cross from Andrew Robertson. It ended Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1.
Yeah, just a complete moment of lapse of concentration from United there to allow Liverpool in, but I don't think Liverpool fans are going to be too upset about that. Right, still to come, we're going to get analysis from Kieran O'Regan on Mulcahy's success today. Also going to hear from Joe Schmidt and Rory Best as they bid farewell to Ireland.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
You're listening to The Big Red Bench, Sean Cork's Red FM. Rory here with you until 7 p.m. I've been joined by Kieran O'Regan, who's made a mad dash from Porcurin following that senior hurling championship win for Mulcahy, their third in a row. And we also heard that Fergal Condon was stepping down. We'll get to that in a bit. But first off, Kieran, better team one?
Better team one, but an absolute helter-skelter game. There was an ad in that break there for blood pressure. A lot of people's blood pressure in that match. It was so full on. It was, for a neutral, it would have been, I would have thought anyway, it was a great game to watch. A real, you know, just they really went at it, both teams. It was fantastic. You weren't going to expect Glen Rovers through that anyway, because everyone was writing Glen Rovers and anyone else who had played in Mulcahy this year off. So it was fantastic to see Glen Rovers put it up to them, and they almost came back into it. The only, I think, probably the changing of the game was early on, actually, when Seamus Harnady's goal went in after a stray puck out in the first half. That possibly was the changing of it, but huge win for Mulcahy. Slightly the better team won, yeah.
What kind of game was it? I mean, like, as you say, it was helter-skelter, but I mean, like, neither side really dominated, and it was kind of tit-for-tat for most of the 60 minutes.
Yeah, real tit for tat. We did actually talk about it with Mark Landers yesterday, how it could come down to freeze, and it certainly did.
He didn't want that at all. He wanted a free flowing.
No, it didn't. But
15 against 15 game.
It is what it is. Especially like even a free in the team's own half. The likes of Decky Dalton and Patrick Horgan are going to more than likely score them, and that's what happened. Patrick Horgan got 11 of his points, 8 of them were frees, and Decky Dalton, 1 goal and 4 points were frees out of his total haul of 1-7. So there was a lot of scores from frees, but so what can you do about it? If there's a free, there's a free. But yeah, we did talk about that yesterday. Mark didn't want frees, but it is what it is.
Going to be too upset about that.
I don't think any of them really cared there, Paddy, Decky or Fergal in those post-matches interviews. But yeah, I suppose no one side dominated. The Glen started off better. You'll always have one side start off a bit better, but Glen really just drove on from the start, and McKinley took a small bit to get back into it. Until they did, and then they started going at it. Then Glenn came back. It was kind of tit for tat for the whole game. And the Glenn came so close towards the end to getting back at it, but it was just too far.
Now, the Glenn are one of the best sides this county's produced in decades. I mean, like, to be in the final again, to have won back to back county titles a couple of years back, they're an incredible side.
They are. Well, these two teams have dominated Cork for the last decade. And, there's definitely, I would think anyway, there's a county title in this Glen Rovers team if they stick at it, because a lot of people will have to think, McKinley are losing an awful number of players for next year.
Klein, Father O'Neill's.
Yeah, they're all gone.
And Fergal Condon going as well.
Fergal Condon going, there's, just on the starting team, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, I think there, that are gone from the starting team on Imikili, and there's many more subs there as well that won't be available to Imikili next year. It'll almost be like a rebuilding. But 4 or 5 years ago, there wasn't much talk of Imikili either. They couldn't get a manager.
These things cycle, really, don't they?
They do. And Glen Rovers cycle could be back on again. Richie Kelleher took over at a time when the Glen maybe weren't so dominant. They got to the two county titles that they won, and they had a couple of slow years, but they could be back again. Genuinely, they're a fantastic outfit. They really are. They play brilliant hurling there. Obviously, they've Patrick Horgan. He'll probably stay at it for another while. Hopefully, anyway, for both Glen Rovers and Cork. But they'll definitely come back, I think. And getting to that final, I know the loss is very hard to take, but I think they'll come back. And of course, they have the Munster Championship as well to look forward to.
It's hard for sides when they've been beaten in the county final to go off and get themselves back up for Munster, though, isn't it?
It's very hard. We saw that with Blackrock a couple of years ago. They'll tell you they were up for it, but the result on that day would suggest otherwise. Middleton last year probably did make a go for it, but just coming out on the wrong side of their results. But they should give Munster a crack now. I'm not sure who they're playing. I think it's Tipperary. I could be wrong on that, or Limerick. But they'll definitely give it. They should give it a crack, because they're a very, very good outfit. Across the pitch, they're a very good team. So hopefully they drive on. And even next year, hopefully they come back to the top, because they're a very good outfit as well. And the selectors there in the management are actually very. They're very good as well. It's whether will Richie stay on? He's been at it for a long number of years. We did it in the preview last week, and it was on the podcast last night.
You can hear the pride that comes from his voice. He's talking about Glen Rovers.
Oh, Glen, true and true, absolutely. Mm. He's down in that clubhouse more than he's at home.
Morning and night.
So, but they all are down in the Glen. The whole club are. It's a real fantastic club. So look, hopefully they don't. This doesn't affect them that much, and they come back on, do well in Munster, and come back next year for the new county senior championship.
Fergal Condon confirmed to you that he was stepping down. 5 years in charge, 3 titles. He owes him McKinley nothing. Moving on now to a new role with Cork. He has been incredible for the McKinley team over the last couple of years.
Absolutely fantastic. I wasn't expecting him to say that to me. Although you probably imagine, you're after doing a 3 in a row, you're going to be involved with Cork next year. You're losing a lot of players next year. It's probably a right time to go, maybe. But he is stepping aside. He got very emotional talking about that.
It was a brilliant interview, actually. If you missed it, it'll be on our podcast just after 7 o'clock. But well worth checking out, because the emotion and just the raw honesty that Fergal showed in that interview was just well worth listening to.
Yeah, he really did get emotional. Because, like I mentioned it with him and the players I was talking to, Imikili is like a club team to them. Mm. It's not a division to them. They've such a bond, the whole panel there, and they're really bought into it. But it is worth mentioning, a couple of years ago, nobody wanted to take that job when Fergal came in, and you know, he just built something very, very special, along with his selectors as well there. So it's a very, very special team that was. And he was involved with Dennis Ring, as he mentioned himself there, this year on the sideline. He was more doing water carrier, but I'm sure he had a bigger influence on the training pitch. But he's officially as a selector next year with the under-20s, and it'll be very interesting to see what they do now as well with Pat Ryan and co, you know.
We've got a few tweets into us about Imokili and about divisions being allowed to play in the county championships. I don't think Imokili are going to care about that tonight. But it's only an issue, I suppose, when Imokili or other divisional sides are winning.
That's the thing. It's the same in the football with Duhallow. There's nobody really kicking up about Duhallow yet, but they were in the county final last year. If they win this year, I'm sure there'll be people cribbing as well. But like I've said two or three times, they were, Imikili were not nobodies, but they weren't anywhere near there 4 or 5 years ago. So this happens every when a team goes on a run. You know, it'll be the same with any other division. But a vote came up at Congress last year, ironically from Glen Rovers, and I think the Bears, they brought that to get rid of the divisions and I think colleges, and it was completely voted against. So the clubs have no issue with Imikili. And look, a lot of those people tweeting, were they at the game today? Have they been to a lot of the Imikili games? I think you'd see, if you went to it, you'd see they are more like a club team. I know they get to pick from, I don't know, there's 10 different clubs there, and there's been people outside the county comment on that as well. But it is what it is. In Kerry, they have two county senior championships. One is the county championship, and one is the club county championship.
Right.
The club championship is only played in the event that a division wins the county championship, which seems kind of silly. So essentially what happens in Cork is if a division wins, like this year Glen Rovers going to Munster, they don't do that in Kerry. It's whenever the club championship will go in. It's very convoluted, but they've six to eight divisions anyway in their county championship in Kerry, and it's just the way it is. And look, it is what it is in Cork. They have to play off, or they used to have to play off against each other. It wasn't like they were dominating, you know. And look, any team worth their salt will put it up to Imikili.
Just one last point, there was only 5,500 people there, 5,536 off the top of my head, which is a disappointing crowd for a senior hurling championship final. A number of factors I'd imagine for that is Imokili traditionally aren't well supported at matches, and secondly maybe the fact that it was played in Parkland as opposed to Páirc Uí Chaoimh would have put a lot of neutrals off.
I was very surprised when I heard that figure, because it looked way, way more. From my view, the covered stand seemed to be almost full, bar the front section that's at a very strong slant, and the standing, or the terrace with the roof, we'll say, that seemed full enough as well. So I was very surprised at that. I thought the number would be a lot more, but I don't know. There'd be a lot of people maybe come in that were free as well. I don't think they count that. I think that number is actually paid people in.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of kids there. But
people on Twitter suggested that there was a lot of sport on TV, Man United and Liverpool again, that would possibly affect the neutral's decision to go out or not. Someone saying there was a bigger crowd at the Hearty Cup final, but then someone making your point here saying that there was definitely more than 5,500 there.
I definitely thought there was, but it was possibly the kids maybe, because they'd be free under 16s. I'm still very surprised that it was only around 5,500, but the other thing was a lot of people were put off by the fact that it was Imikili in the final, and they were saying, no, Imikili are going to walk it, and Imikili didn't walk it. Glenn put it up to them, and I think a lot of those people missed out on an absolute cracker, which is to their disappointment, I'd say.
The Senior Football Championship final is on now next week. Duhallow and Nemo Rangers going head to head. We have 5 pairs of tickets to give away to Duhallow and Nemo Rangers. So to enter, we just want you to text us your name and address, please. 086 8104 106. 086 8104 106. We want you to answer this very simple question. What is the name of the cup given to the senior football champions? What is the name of the cup given to the senior football champions? 086 8104 106. We'll draw out the winners just before 7 o'clock, and you'll be heading along to Duhallo and Nemo Rangers in the senior football championship final from next Sunday. Alright, we are going to talk a little bit of rugby before we go finish up here on the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Of course, Joe Schmidt stepping down as Ireland coach yesterday. Not in the way he would have wanted after that disappointing defeat to New Zealand. And this was his reaction following that game.
I don't really have an excuse for it or a reason for it. On the night, you can't afford to give the All Blacks access points like we did. They're good enough to win games without us inviting them in, and it was incredibly disappointing. I think we're a little bit flat, you know, on the back of having a few niggles during the week, and we weren't quite sure what the team would be till Thursday, and I felt that we needed to get off to a good start to really build a bit of confidence, and when that didn't happen, I always felt that we'd be a bit vulnerable, but you know, once we were 22-0 down at half time, and again, you know, what was really frustrating about that, the third try, we had a really good space for Keith Earls on the trail line. We had a little bit of space on the overlap for Jacob Stockdale, and we just didn't quite put things together. We spilt that ball, and on the back of it, the All Blacks scored, and they didn't really have to earn that. They finished it off really well, but those are the frustrating things, because you've got to make the All Blacks work for everything if they're going to get it. And you know, I felt that in the past we had forced them to do that, even when we'd lost them, and certainly obviously when we'd beaten them. So that made it very tough. Then we were chasing the game in the second half, and if you're chasing the game against the All Blacks and you're not absolutely nailed on, then you know, you're going to allow them opportunities, and that's exactly what we did. Straight after half time, they took the ball back into their own 22, and we catch it with a foot and touch where, you know, we probably should have let that go, and then we've got a line out inside the 22 to start the second half and to give ourselves a little bit of oxygen, but we sort of invited them straight back in again.
Joe, how do you account for the decline in performance over the last 11 months, to go from what you were able to produce consistently at that point to arriving at the most important moment of the whole thing and producing that performance?
Yeah, I think there's always a myriad of factors. I do think when you hit a height, there is always a, you know, a little bit of a drop, because it's not perfect. We work with human beings, and you know, inevitably when you've reached the height, there is certainly not complacency, but there was an unfortunate, I suppose, aiming up for this tournament. One of the things that we tried to do was experiment a little bit in the Six Nations, give responsibility to a few younger players, try to build the group. We try to use the Six Nations as a platform for that, because we felt that we'd won three of the last five of them, that this is really what we wanted. And so that's why it's so devastating tonight, that what we really wanted, we didn't produce the performance that we needed on the night. And yeah, while there might be a few reasons for that, with the short week that we had and the niggles that we had, so that we weren't quite, you know, probably as regenerated as we would have liked to have been. That error count that was mentioned, that does make it incredibly tough. And I don't really have a reason for that, other than on the night, there's always anxiety. There's always guys who might overreach, and as a result, you don't get the performance that you're looking for.
How much credit do you give to the All Blacks for, I guess, the unsettled nature of your performance? I think in the first half they missed one tackle. They obviously contributed to your to your error rate. How much credit do you give them?
Sure. You know, we could have played really well, and they still might have got over the top of us. That's how good they are, and they were stifling. They made it very, very hard for us to breathe. And what was probably most frustrating, Mark, is that when we did have opportunities to breathe, we actually gave them oxygen back by missing touch or by missing a trail line when I felt we had an opportunity for a line break, and in the end it's an All Black try. I think it was a mix of the two for sure. They're a super team, and I said on Thursday that you have to be absolutely nailed on to topple them, and we weren't nailed on, and that's how you get a 30-point differential on a scoreboard, because they can accumulate those points so quickly because of the pressure they put on, whether they've got the ball or not. And as you say, I think they missed one tackle in the first half, and we missed about 10. And, you know, that differential's not great to start with.
What did you make of Johnny Sexton's decision to go for touch rather than take some points, I think with about 20 minutes gone? And how would you assess his performance overall tonight? Thank you.
Yeah, again, those decisions are made by Rory and Johnny and Pete and those guys who are on-field leaders. That's what you do when you coach. You help people become the leaders that they need to be, and they make those decisions. And sometimes on the back of them, you get the points that you need, and other times you don't. You know, I thought we were pretty unlucky toward the end of the half where we did decide to go for the touch, and you know, if we could have got a 7-pointer there at 22-7, you kind of feel like you've at least got a little bit of a toehold. So, you know, sometimes you're a little bit damned if you do and damned if you don't. I think a couple of those penalties, certainly the ones where he missed touch, they were quite a long way out. I'm not sure that he would have taken a shot at those anyway.
Yes, Joe Schmidt speaking at his final press conference as Ireland boss after yesterday's defeat to New Zealand. Right, just to go back to Old Trafford, we are going to hear briefly from Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp after their 1-1 draw with Manchester United. Now, VAR was involved a couple of times today. I ruled out a goal for Liverpool, and Manchester United's goal was suggested there was a foul from Lindelof in the build-up to that, but it was waved away. So Jurgen Klopp not too happy after the game with VAR.
They scored a goal, which shows all the problems with VAR. Because Mr. Atkinson, I'm sure, let the game run because things where VAR, so that the VAR looks on it and says, oh, you decided like this, that's possible, because foul or no foul. But it was a foul.
Yeah, it looked a foul, all right, but I'm surprised it wasn't given. And Mane was disallowed. His goal was disallowed because the ball brushed off his hand as he tried to control a ball over his shoulder. It's I don't like VAR, we know that. You're a referee, do you like VAR?
It can help, but it's certainly not helping over in the Premier League at the moment. But they all wanted it brought in because they said it could help the game, and it's not helping.
No, it's just annoying me, to be perfectly honest. Are going to hear from Jordan Henderson, the Liverpool captain.
What could have been better today, we know that. I still feel as though towards the second half we're much better and wanted to go and win the game. But if you can't win, don't lose.
Andy Murray, meanwhile, has won his first tennis title since 2017. He came from a set down to beat Stan Wawrinka in the final of the European Open today. Murray, of course, having a career-saving hip surgery earlier on this year, so his comeback is continuing in earnest. All right, going to hear briefly from Rory Best, who played his final test for Ireland yesterday. In that defeat, he got quite emotional in this interview.
That was an incredibly tough test match today. Obviously, I think whenever you play the All Blacks at this stage of the competition, they're obviously incredibly focused. There's a lot of pressure on them, and I think we allowed them to get a good start, which took a little bit of the pressure off. In terms of quarterfinals, I'm not sure. Maybe we put, you know, everyone talks about the pressure that's on the All Blacks for quarterfinals, but whenever you haven't won one, and you feel you have an incredible opportunity because you've got a great coaching setup, you've got a great group of players, and maybe you put too much pressure on, and maybe, like Joe said, maybe we have been looking at this for too long, and we got sort of so focused on it that we forgot to win some of the little battles along the way over the last just under 12 months. We wanted to set a bar that no Irish team had done before, and we've done that numerous times under the sort of 6.5 years with Joe. And I think it was important for us to win a quarter final, because then it becomes almost a habit you know, we talked about it years ago. I remember Paul O'Connell saying about beating France when we beat them three times in a row leading into the last World Cup, that then becomes a habit that you expect to beat France. Because before that, like a lot of the times whenever I was playing, they were the team that stopped us winning Grand Slams, and that became a habit. And I think with Joe, he was able to take away a little bit of the fear factor that the All Blacks held in the last three tests. And I think when you do that, they see you coming a lot more, and they're a lot more prepared. And when you get the best team in the world fully prepared and fully focused on you, it becomes that a little bit more difficult. And when you make a few errors, when there's a few errors forced upon you, and you let them get their tails up on a big start, it becomes even harder.
It was your last test match. How do you feel right now?
Tired, sore, upset. Look, and I think it's, Joe did touch on it, that right now you focus on what's just gone, and we're incredibly disappointed. It was a lot of big characters in that changing room. It's not often that you get a changing room that's deadly silent, and that was what happened. You know, there was big men in tears, and you know, that's what happens whenever you put your heart and soul into everything. But you hope, given time, that you get time to reflect on what has been an incredible few years for this team. And like I say, right now it's focused on the disappointment, but we will look back. I think this World Cup has been, we've had some big occasions. You know, we started it was so much pressure heaped on us at the start, and that we don't start tournaments well and this, that, the other, and we come out and we produced a big performance against Scotland, and we dipped against Japan, who, you know, went from strength to strength. They're a fantastic team, and it has been a little bit of a roller coaster of emotion, pressure, everything. And I think what's been really good is the way that this group has stuck together. And honestly, the way we prepared this week, we went into this game fully expecting to win. You don't always get that, but at least we had that. And it didn't happen for us tonight. But I think this World Cup in Japan has had a lot of things. It's had upsets, it's had weather, it's had some fantastic performances. And I think credit has to go to Japanese rugby and world rugby for you know, having the, I suppose, the balls to bring it here. And you know, I think it's been a fantastic tournament, and we're unbelievably upset to be leaving it. And I'm unbelievably upset with the thought that I'll never pull on a green jersey again except to go and support.
That's Roy Best speaking after his final game for Ireland yesterday. We're nearly out of time. We had tickets to give away to the Senior Football Championship final next week, which is the clash between Duhallo and Nemo Rangers, which should be an absolute cracker next Sunday afternoon. We had five pairs of tickets to give away. We wanted the answer to this simple question. The name of the cup given to the Senior Football Champions, Ciarán, is...
the Andy Scannell Cup.
Nice. And the winners are?
The winners are Tim Healy from Liscarroll, Juliette Guiney from Lombardstown, John Shane of Kishgame, Shane Carton of Castle Magner, and John Deasy of Ballincollig.
All right, guys, congratulations on that. We'll be in touch and give you details on how you can collect your tickets later on in the week. That should be a good game, though. Duhallo Nemo Rangers, Ciarán.
Yeah, definitely. Duhallo very disappointed after losing out last year. They'll want to go one further. Nemo, obviously, very, very strong outfit, and a lot of players looking for a place on Ronan McCarthy's team next year, who was at the hurling final today. Well, I don't think you'll find much players there, but yeah, there could be a lot of fellas looking to put up their hands next year, next week.
Yeah, Nemo looking for their first title since 2017 when they beat the Bears in the replay. The Bears, of course, are last year's champions as they beat this year's finalists to Hallow by a goal in last year's final. But it should be a cracking game. We'll have a big build up to that game coming up on the Big Red Bench on Saturday evening, and of course we'll have all the reaction to the game on Sunday's show. Pretty much it from us here, I'd say, is it?
That is almost it.
Just trying to fill up the time here until we get exactly in the time we have to get out on. If you missed any of our show, you can join us on the Big Red Bench podcast. You can get that on redextra.ie, also on redfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts from as well. So you can check that out. And if you missed any of yesterday's show, that'll be on there as well. And indeed, all the shows from the last couple of weeks, the Big Red Bench podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from, and on redextra.ie as well. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, folks. Alan Donovan's up next with Green on Red.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.